In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as we continue our services, I shall read the Word of God, the unperishing Word of God, which has been written from in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning with verse 30 and going until verse 56. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I have risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that shall betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! And kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for me to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, at these services, we have already been able to hear of God's love, that love which originates from heaven. John writes about this love in his gospel when he says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This same love unites us children of God with each other. It says in the first letter of John, For through it the love is not the love not in that we loved him, but that he loved us, and that he loved us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This same unlimited love to us sinners also placed Jesus on that road of sacrifice. And we are able to examine this pathway through our text. Before our text, it describes how Ascension Thursday or Maundy Thursday was spent. Jesus' feet had been washed, and it was the Passover dinner. And at that Passover meal, Jesus says, One of you will betray me. Jesus rises up from his Passover meal and delivers communion or the Eucharist. And he says, our text begins with, when they had sung on him, they went out onto the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus started to describe what was going to happen. He says that all of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter, the quick one, answers and says, Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus answers unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. If God wills, we shall return back to Peter's actions. Peter learned a hard lesson it seemed like strange to the disciples that Jesus would be speaking about his disciples rejecting him. But as we just read in the last verse of our text, this is indeed what happened. The journey continues, and Jesus arrives in Gethsemane, to that Garden of Gethsemane, which was a familiar place to Jesus and to his followers. They knew this place, and this place was also known by the one who was to betray, to the one who would betray Jesus. Jesus takes his disciples, and he says, "Sit here as long as I go over there and pray." And he takes Peter and two sons of Zebedeus with him, Jacob and John, and then they begin to complain. And he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther beyond these disciples and falls on his face and prays. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus' pain is incomprehensible to us. That pain that he carried with him at that moment when he alone prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sacrificing on our behalf, on behalf of our sins. He requests from him who sent him, the Father. He says, "If it would be possible, remove this from me. Not let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." He approaches the disciples, goes to them, and finds them sleeping. Just a moment before, the disciples had promised that they would not reject the Lord Jesus at the moment of distress. Yet they were not able to have the energy to watch with him. Instead, they fell asleep. Then Jesus tells the disciples, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptations. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And this is repeated yet a third time. From that moment on, Lucas writes about this in the following manner, saying, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow." Dear journey friends, at that Garden of Gethsemane, there was perhaps the most consequential battle fought, decisive battle. The Son asks his fathers, "Please pass this cup from me. Remove this cup from me." Yet he shows obedience to the one who sent him, to the Heavenly Father, by saying, "Not my will, but thine." There's a lot we can learn from Jesus' life. To show obedience of faith above all in our lives, but also obedience to the Heavenly Father, and also contentment, being satisfied with how God is leading our lives and how He is taking us from one phase to the next. Life is very multifaceted, and there are times when we have to stop as if we are at a fork in the road, and we ask ourselves, what should we do? In prayer, we can approach the Heavenly Father and ask Him for guidance and assistance. And just like Jesus, we could add something to add. Nevertheless, add to the end of our prayers, we should add the words, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine," as Jesus said. Another thing that this portion of God's Word teaches us is to watch. To watch in this precious faith so that we would not fall asleep, but would be ready when the groom is coming to take us home. When we are tired and weak, it's a good chance for the enemy of souls to approach us and throw those ugly darts at us. And the only aim of the enemy of souls is to wound us with wounds of sin and to pull us away from this group of escorts so that we can, where we can, as sinners, within this fellowship of forgiveness of sins, we can journey. The gift of faith is a precious gift, and it's one which we should cherish. There are many good things and many temptations in the world, but the joy of this world is superficial. The joy which we can own in the kingdom of God, it is a perfect joy. This joy carries us on this way and the journey, and this joy will carry us through faith into the heavenly home. We can be happy that our sins are forgiven, that we have peace with God, and that our conscience is clean. In this flock of escorts of saints, we can travel. Our text continues. And Judas, one of the disciples, a betrayer, he leads this group of disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he had agreed on a sign that whoever I kiss is the one that should be arrested. And this is what happened, indeed. And then it says that one of the people who was with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck one of the soldiers and smote his ear off. And Jesus said unto him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." And he continues and says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" All of this could have yet been prevented at this point. But all of this was part of God's love, part of God's plan of salvation to fulfill the scriptures so that the message of the Bible would be fulfilled. Jesus continues, "Are ye come out against the thief with swords, as against the thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me." In other words, they had already had a lot of chances to conduct this arrest. However, just as we were able to view a moment ago, the Heavenly Father had indeed meant for all of this to happening. The arrest took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was in the Garden of Gethsemane where the final stage of Jesus' travel journey to Golgotha took place. The night that Jesus faced was a night of agony. Jesus writes, "But this was all done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And what happened was just as we were able to read at the beginning of our text. And Jesus' journey goes on from this moment of being arrested. And it goes all the way until the judgment when he was sentenced. Isaiah writes that when he was held, he did not open his mouth. He was taken like a sheep, dumb. And he was quiet like a sheep who is taken to the shearer. Neither did he open his mouth. Peter could not just stand by and watch that group who came to arrest Jesus, the Lord. Instead, he went to the fire of the priests, and he kind of like hung around to see what was going to happen. And one lady came, who was at this bonfire, and she asks him, "Were you one of the people that were with him? Were you one of his followers?" And Peter denies each one of these questions. He answers in the negative. He says, "I don't know what you're talking about." But just as Peter was talking, the cock crowed. After the cock had crowed, that's when Jesus and Peter's eyes met. Luke writes about this when he says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." The gaze of the living Lord Jesus Christ was gracious. It was a gaze full of love. And it resulted in the first fruit of something, which is penitence. Penitence. Peter felt sorrow over what he had done. He had become a denier. The journey continues on to the Mount of Golgotha. And there in that bloody piece of wood, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave up his life to atone for our sins. He hangs his head. He says, he shouts, "It is all fulfilled. Into thy hands I give my spirit." And then he hung his head. The Lord Jesus Christ was not left on the cross. He was lowered. He was buried into a tomb that was cut into the stone. And they actually sealed it with the king's seal onto that doorway because he had spoken about rising up from the dead on the third day. But the Lord, living Lord Jesus Christ, was not contained with even such a large stone. In fact, the hymn says, the words of a hymn said, the angel flew down from heaven and moved the stone from that tomb the Lord living the living Christ suffered to atone for our sins, and with his victorious resurrection he opened us a way onto that glory of heaven. And there were two sermons that left this tomb. To the guards who were placed at the tomb, they were given money, they were paid off to go tell the stories that the apostles had come and stolen Jesus' body. But the apostles went out to spread that good news, the good message, the good tidings, which is written in the words of the hymn. He sat on the stone, he spoke with joy. Jesus arose from dead, and he lives forever. Jesus, the King of Heaven, defeated the power of death once again on Good Friday. Easter came again. The living Lord Jesus could, with every one of his steps, with his word and his deed, was able to fulfill the wish of God on behalf of us with his suffering, with his death, and with his resurrection. With his victorious resurrection, he prepared for us righteousness. And this gift, righteousness, cannot be gained through people's own actions. It can be owned through faith here on earth in the kingdom of God. And it was the same way when Jesus looked graciously upon Peter. In the same way today, the living Lord Jesus Christ looks upon humans that are penitent with that gaze of love which originates from heaven. And what a big deal it is that God is able to contact man through a broken conscience, make him think about where he would wish to spend eternity. And there are only two choices. The Lord Jesus Christ is the start of a new beginning, new life. To that penitent sinner, the living Lord Jesus Christ is a new opportunity to the world which has been torn apart by sin. Only by believing on him, only because of his merits we are able to be believing, and only because of his merits one day we will be able to enter the heavenly home. The living Lord Jesus Christ is not only a historical figure to his followers. He has arisen. He is a living Redeemer or Savior, one who still dwells through his Spirit inside of his kingdom among his followers. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has said, "I wish to live and dwell among you." The Lord Jesus Christ dwells within the heart of a child of God who is on his own part corrupt and sinful. And we can be happy about this gift of faith. Even tonight we can be happy that we can be our believing. I, under my own name, the Good Shepherd knows us by name. He knows me and he knows you. We are able to broadcast this good tidings, just as it says in the hymn of the kingdom of God. Just as it says in the hymn, like the angel of heaven, we too can go forward and broadcast and proclaim that Jesus lives. Jesus is alive and he is working and influencing among his followers. and among his own. He has prepared for us a way into the glory of heaven. And we, children of God, can travel on this journey of endeavoring together. This is like a throng of saints, where the destination is already something. There are so many saints who have already been able to lower their staff and achieve peace. We have received a good testament from them that their soul was acceptable to God. There are so many of them who are already there. We are supported on this journey by the Word of God. The journey staff of the gospel. This journey staff of the gospel is one on which we can lean on this journey when the journey begins tough. And God has so preciously organized things in His kingdom so that we have been given these escorts of the journey, brothers and sisters who travel alongside of us, in front of us, and behind us. And we are able to speak with them about the way in this journey. We can complain about the troubles and the errors, and we are able to proclaim the gospel onto each other, the gospel of forgiveness, and that gospel of Jesus' name and precious. You can believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, all of your sins and doubts. And when we are able to believe this way, then we are able to experience and we are able to believe how light our footsteps are. I can't help but tell this one thing that I have spoken of so many times in sermons. One time I was at a youth camp with another family in Koirasalmi Park, and we started on Friday night, and on Friday evening we decided to plan out our Saturday about where we were going to go hiking, and so we started organizing our lunches and our equipment, and on Saturday morning we set out. And we had a plan for where we were going to eat lunch, where we were going to take a break, and where we were going to arrive. What was our final point of the destination? And my job was to be at the very back, to walk in the back, and also to deliver an evening devotion for them in the evening. And as we hiked along the many trails there in the outdoors, and when I was walking there behind them, I was thinking, what could I talk about to these young people? And during the daytime, we arrived at a large bog where there were a narrow path made of logs or boards, and all those young people stretched out on a long line walking across this bog or swamp, and my job was to be the last one and make sure that nobody was left behind. And after a period of time, one of the young people that was walking on this narrow path slipped off the walkway and stepped into the bog, and the people in front and behind stopped and asked this young person how he was doing. And then they lifted him out of the bog or swamp, and they emptied the swamp water out of his rubber boots and replaced his wet socks with dry ones. And at the same time, they took part of his pack so that he would have the energy to reach the end of the trip. your brothers and sisters. You already know what I'm going to say, because it was at that moment that I knew what I was going to talk about at the evening devotion that night. I learned what it meant to dwell in the kingdom of God and to help one another on the way and the journey. We are not alone, and if and when there are faults and errors, when your footstep falls off the pathway, there is next to you dear escorts who will come and ask you, how are you doing? What happened? And when we are able to meet one another, unfortunately, there is not so many times that we do this, but it is so wonderful that we can discuss with each other about the way and the journey, how refreshing it is. This is the type of journey and way that we are on, brothers and sisters, and that we can travel along. Even at this moment, this gracious moment, each one of us can believe righteousness as sinners. We can all remain believing, all sins and journey faults forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood which flowed on the earth. In Jesus' name and blood, believe all your sins are forgiven. This sermon is being broadcast by internet, by radio, way beyond the service site. And I know there are very many of you, escorts of the journey, who have not been able to come here to these services for one reason or another. The Heavenly Father wishes to send you too good greetings, that wherever your place of watching is, wherever you're listening to these sermons, you too can listen and believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. Dear brothers and sisters, this is my first turn speaking at summer services, and you have no idea how scared I have been in thinking about this moment. Yet I have been able to experience what God has given, a peaceful mind and heart, and how much you brothers and sisters have remembered me. You have reminded me that I am not doing my own work. And I wish that I trust that the Heavenly Father will give words according to His wish. And we need to be content with this. Yet filled with sins and fears, I wish to ask, may I also remain believing my own sins and doubts and these kinds of fears forgiven? I wish to believe like this together with you, and so we can remain in the blessed care of God's word. And we still say, in Jesus' name, amen.